Davis, and welcome to part two of your 2016 reading. By the way, that music is by Greg Schofield, a friend and sometimes client of mine who has got a cool little thing going with music. So it's in a little bit different style than the Daniels and I usually come up with, but I thought I would just get a little other musical influence. He's worked for us a couple of other times, and I like what he does. All right, so thank you, Greg. Let's talk about the 12th house. The 12th house of your chart is Capricorn. That is the sign right before your sign. And you have an especially close relationship to the 12th house because both Aquarius and Capricorn are, in classical astrology, ruled by Saturn. I'm aware that in modern astrology, most astrologers consider Uranus to be the ruler of the sign Aquarius. And I consider Uranus to be the ruler of Aquarius, kind of like I consider Chiron to be the ruler of Virgo, which is not exactly. There are some strong associations between Uranus and Aquarius, but I think to really understand both Aquarius and Saturn, it's necessary to frame them in the context of one another. So we'll come back to the Uranus thing, because that does show up in your chart. But for now, the idea that your 12th house and your first house, that is to say Cap and Aquarius, have a planet in common is really important because it means that all of the things that are represented by the 12th house can be rather out front and ordinary for you. And here are some of what they are. First of all, the 12th house acts like a hidden dimension of consciousness that you cannot always penetrate into. The most easily recognized example of the 12th house is a dream. The dream seems incredibly real when you're in it. It can kind of be present when you first wake up, and then it has a way of fading out and maybe leaving behind a memory or a feeling, but not being especially easy to find your way back into. And so that sensation of an experience that seemed real, but you can't find your way back into it, is a typical experience of the 12th house. And another is that it contains things like our ancestral memory. The memories that we bring with us into this life that typically are conveyed either by karma or by DNA can also be products of the 12th house. And that karma and DNA also includes environmental factors that are often not that well accounted for. And it happens that you have a lot of activity in Capricorn in your 12th house right now. And that means that a lot is being stirred up of past influences. And the theme of the past is contained in the 12th because the 12th is sort of like a drainage basin that karma and experience are drained into and have a way of disappearing. You know how when you see someone, you think, wow, that person's really not dealing with their stuff. And they think, what do you mean? What do you mean? Well, of course I'm dealing with. That's 12th house. You can see what they're not addressing, whatever it might be, family stuff or grief or consequences of the past. But they might feel like, nah, no biggie. Okay. However, for you, you have had some profound activity in the 12th house going back to 2008 when Pluto entered Capricorn. And one of the best ways to get my perspective on this is to find the link. I'll actually make it pretty obvious. Link to past annuals. And I don't want to make my staff work to dig up all the Aquarius readings, but we'll make the link to the annuals available. And if you go back to around 2007 and the 2008 annuals, right around then, I would say the years 7, 8, 9, and 10 that I recall were the years I was doing the most analysis of the ancestral material connected to Pluto in Capricorn. It was kind of the central theme of Aquarius for a while. And I did my best to introduce my readers and clients to that theme, and it will be worth going back and researching. And the reason for that is because now there have been so many transits to Pluto, particularly in the past few weeks, where Mercury was dancing around Pluto as part of the Mercury retrograde process. That will continue next December when Mercury stations retrograde conjunct Pluto. And in addition, over the past few weeks, Venus has been in Capricorn, and recently over the past weekend, just ahead of the new moon, a couple of days before the new moon, made a conjunction to Pluto. And so in addition to Pluto being there, kind of opening up a lot of boxes in the attic, there have been some personal planets mingled in, and the personal planets make the information more visceral. It's you feel it, you think it, you emote it, you want to talk about it. The experience of, say, for example, Mercury plus Venus in Capricorn is much more visceral than just Pluto in Capricorn. So it's as if the inner planets are making the experience of the outer planet, Pluto, real. Now, just to sum up a little bit, one of the ways I was describing Pluto in Capricorn in the beginning of the transit is kind of like you find a secret stairway in your home or your apartment. Let's say you like step out your front door and into the corridor, or you open up a closet, and instead of there being a closet, there's a staircase that goes up, and you go to the top of the staircase, and you see there's a door with a doorknob, and of course you put your hand on the doorknob to see if the knob will turn, and that is a, it's an inviting thing. The 12th is enticing, and any time you have a way in there, generally most people will take it. And so you open the door, and you see this long corridor. And it's almost like a hotel corridor, only instead of there being hotel rooms, each one of those doors leads to the bedroom of your ancestors. All those grandparents and uncles and aunts and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents going all the way back, and your part, the